Jonathan, hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.
Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Photo, the weekly show on photography from the Bagel Tech Network, where we look at all the news that's going on, and there's actually not bad this week, it's okay. And we look at your questions as well. You send us questions, we give you answers. I'm joined normally by Kyle Swagger and Chris Forsman, but I've got no idea where they are. I know Kyle's got a function tonight, which he's racing back from to hopefully make it in time for Mac, but he may not. And Chris Forsman, no idea, just a lightweight, I reckon. There we go. Joining me instead, then, it's just me and Alex. It's a photography fest, mate. We've got to watch each other because it could... Chat room, you've got to monitor us because if we get too anal here, it could be to go off the rails. How you doing, mate?
I'm very well. I'm about a three-quarter thread rather than a half-inch thread today.
Good.
Yeah, let's not get too technical.
Have you worked this week?
I've done nothing but work this week.
You lucky... I've done 3 days, actually, so that's not bad. I'm happy with that.
Well, I've done 4 days... And that's about 8 days worth of work. And I'm going to be working all weekend. I've had to turn down a big job because it was just too complicated and I just don't have time. And I was really getting a bit upset about
finding a way. That's not a good advert. I turned down a job because it was too complicated.
No, it was getting everyone in the same place at the same time was really complicated. And as I put it down, I had a call waiting, which I picked up. I mean, it was a job for about exactly the same amount of money. And instead of taking me a day and a half, I reckon it's going to take me about an hour and a half. So I'm really, really, really glad I turned down the first job.
Jolly good.
And then it's Christmas and I'm not doing any more work until the new year. I am
working right up to the 22nd.
I've decided not to.
Gutted. Normally 15th of the month, that's it. And you can't see me for a goose until 15th of January. But this year I'm racking it and I've got 3 days next week. So it's great.
I think I'm ending Tuesday. I don't know what day of the week that is, but I've decided I've had enough after Tuesday. So.
The week in photography. Now, big news was, of course, that you steered the London Mac User Group and the fine fellows from Photo around London last week. How did that go?
It's really, really, really good. Even if I say so myself. Well, we sort of met up, and of course I assumed that everyone knew each other and I was the only one that didn't know anyone. And it turns out nobody knew anybody, but we all good. Sort of ignored that for a while. And it was only about an hour later we all realised we didn't know anyone's name, but we were just having a really good time. And we had the best weather I think we've ever had on an autumn day in London. It was incredible.
Now, you came up to the Will Green bash at Ironbridge, and I saw some of the pictures that had been taken on that Steve had taken on the back of his, and I got to say, they were either extremely well-taken photos, but they didn't look like long exposure. It looked like it was beautiful lighting, lovely low sun.
You know what? If I could have controlled the entire environment, it would have been what we got.
Wow.
So that was brilliant. And they were all so keen. And, you know, some of them didn't know an awful lot about photography, but their enthusiasm was absolutely infectious.
Jolly good.
It was really, I mean, we will definitely do more. And I know you're going to start trying to take some up in your neck of the woods. And we're hoping that other people will take it on board and we might try an international Bagel Tech Photo Day at some point.
Well, now we've got the Bagel Tech Bash on the 6th of July and there's a few people coming over for that. We've got Kyle's probably going to come over from the Philippines.
Right.
So I think what we should do is kind of like the day before, we should have a photo walk the day before around Birmingham. Because despite the fact that Birmingham's a grey, horrid place full of concrete, there's an awful lot of nice stuff in concrete. It'd be a good urban shoot anyway.
Well, exactly.
But we should do that day before, and then we got something on the Thursday.
We could have industrial wasteland car plant shooting.
Oh, it's not. Let's go on. It's just a flat piece of land now. It's all finished. But we'll do that. We'll have a photo walk the day before the bash. That'd be perfect.
Yeah,
Thursday
be
and Friday, taken. Put it in your diaries. Book an extra night. Yeah. The week in photography. Now, you picked this story, Alex. Leica bridge camera. Leica have released a new bridge camera that it looks fantastic. I mean, it's a pleasant-looking camera. It looks like it functions really well in terms of where the controls are. It's got a lot of external features as well as for control. 2.8 lens, which has got to be a real bonus, but based on the probable price, It's have we got a final price for it at all?
Yeah, we got £690, which I think is very reasonable.
Bloody hell. I'd had a read at the read of the specs, but I hadn't clocked the price, so I'm actually floored now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I looked at this and I thought, okay, Leica are making something. It's bound to be £3,000 or £4,000, and it'll be okay. But and I looked at the specs and I thought, no, the specs are really good. It's going to be £5,000. And then I just looked at the price and I thought, hold on a minute. Have I got two stories mixed up?
Well, you'd have put them in at, because, you know, you've got that £1,000 expensive hobbyist range of compacts with interchangeable lenses. And you would have seen that if you were going to do a low price, they'd have hit it at £5,000, at £1,000. But so for this to kind of come in at £6,000+, I got to say, I don't believe it even.
Yeah, I did read it a couple of times to make sure I hadn't got something really fundamentally wrong. But it appears that this is exactly what it is. And, you know, if this is as good as Leica make their cameras, then I think every other bridge camera might as well just pack up and go home.
I mean, you've got a 2.8 lens, which is great, really, really good. 4.5 to 108mm extension optical. That's 25 to 600 equivalent in 35mm format. The only thing that I saw is that it shoots 4.3 as well.
Yeah.
So you can change your format from 4.3 to 3.2 to 16.9. Now, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's what I was saying. I'm a bit confused because I'm waiting to find out someone's going to write in and say, yeah, but it's only available on the 7th of February 2015 for 5 minutes or something.
No, you can see someone say, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. There should be a zero on the end.
Yeah. Well, even if there was a one in front, I wouldn't have been that shocked if it was £1,600, but it's not. According to this, you get a really good spec Leica with, you know, all the video that everyone else does, even some of the videos a little bit better. You know, you got a 60 frames per second burst rate.
Yeah, now Teresa's saying in the chat room she's going to see if she can get over. What, 6th of July, come over. Mrs. Darren, he's doing our bar humbug. Well done, mate. Thank you for coming in, Scrooge. And
it
he's
might
saying,
be a rebranded Panasonic, it's but just it's rebranded as Leica.
Well, I mean, but I'm not aware of a Panasonic camera that lets you shift formats. And because normally if you want to shift format, all you're doing is either a digital crop in the camera or you're waiting to do it in Photoshop afterwards. So
yeah, well, this is the point, isn't it? I mean, for instance, good point yesterday. I had to shoot for Photoshop. It's the one thing we say we should never do.
No, yeah.
But what I was doing was, it wasn't possible. It was impossible. But I had to shoot for Photoshop. And I was looking at my camera thinking, oh, I wish it just had something that I could... I need to change the parallels on some of the shots I did yesterday. Now, I had to shoot it digital. I do not have a digital back with parallels on it. If they'd allowed me to shoot it on film, I could have corrected anything with the back of the camera. This is sort of, a lot of this is giving you the ability to get things right when you shoot it. And digital cameras don't normally give you that option. You can frame this the way you want to frame it rather than having to crop it afterwards. There's a lot about these things. Even if it is a rebranded Panasonic, it's a rebranded Panasonic with lots of really clever ideas in it that professionals would eventually realize they needed. But, you know, this is something that a lot of thought's gone into. The nuances.
Question from Steve in the chat room. Excuse me for being Mr. Thicky, but what is a bridge camera as opposed to a DSLR? Now, has this got an interchangeable lens?
No, it's a bridge.
It hasn't, it's fixed. Yeah, it's full bridge, so it's fixed. So this is not trying to be a DSLR, it's trying to be a compact with a big lens. Would that be fair?
Yeah, but with the usability of an SLR.
Yeah, I mean, the thing you've got to remember is that because you've got a bigger lens on there, the extension of the elements, it becomes greater. Therefore, the optical zoom's improved. You're not trying to doctor it with tiny, tiny sensors. You can put a bigger sensor in there so you get a better quality of image. There is a lot of benefits to bridge cameras, but I don't get them on the basis that for the money that you're paying for this, you could go out and buy yourself a D5100 and you could probably get a 2.0 or a 1.8 lens for £60 on eBay and you'd have... more.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the, you know, with DSLRs, you still have to either buy the kit and never change anything about it. And if that's the case, you may as well have bought a bridge camera in the first place. Or you buy it because you want to add and change and do various things. This is like buying, if you like, an iMac as opposed to a Mac.
That's a good analogy, yeah.
Whereas everything in this has been put together because it's completely compatible. And, you know, it shouldn't break down. It should give you constantly good pictures and, you know, at a slightly reduced price. And I'm not saying it's idiot-proof, but they're a lot less easy to damage than DSLRs. You know, you haven't got the trouble with changing lenses and picking up dust and dirt and then buying an inferior lens so the camera body isn't as useful as it could have been. And, you know, there's lots of complications once you start messing around with SLR cameras. So this is a one-stop shop, which hopefully will give you the best and the most compatible hardware in one place. I mean, and as a point and shoot, it's a big compact, but it's going to give you an awful lot more functionality than any compact, even a £1,000 one.
I mean, there's the ongoing chat in the chat room is about what bridge cameras tend to give you, and the comment is about usually no viewfinder. This has a viewfinder.
Yeah, they've really thought this one through, which maybe is because of, you know, Leica don't do it too often. So when they do it, they're not going to probably bring out. I mean, we like Panasonic. But how many different variations of the same camera have they got? You know, Leica aren't going to have that many.
I mean, is this? I mean, you think about all the films that come out just in time for the Oscar voting and that kind of stuff. I mean, if this is thrown out there and it's not going to be available for Christmas, I don't think it's next year. But I mean, because is this camera of the year already?
Well, it really could be. I mean, it really could. But. I think if you look at sort of technology, there's a build-up of technology. And if you want a camera of the year, it's sort of best to get it out in January and let the craze and, don't put too many out there, get a demand going, make sure the shops haven't got enough and that sort of thing. So that's how technology tends to work. I mean, Apple are the world masters at it. You know, get the hype out, but make sure you don't build enough units. Mm. So maybe this will be the camera of the year, but we'll know next December.
Cool. Next story then is that SLR Magic have produced a hyper prime E-mount lens that fits all of your NEX stuff. It looks really nice. It's got a good spec, f1.7, and it's 23mm fixed prime lens. I mean, goodbye, bad bye.
I don't know much about these. I did read it, and I've had heard of this lot. I mean,
well, NEX, for everyone just, that doesn't know, is the proprietary Sony fitting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is a third party firm who've manufactured a Sony fit, presumably under license.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Yeah,
but you know, it's very very high spec on a camera that possibly doesn't warrant it. That's the only thing I'd say. But I was looking at, they've got this new 1.7 lens, but they've got a new 0.95 fixed 50mm lens. And what was the other one? They had something else equally as ridiculous, a 23mm lens.
They are odd numbers.
Yeah, but I suppose when you look at the size of the Sony and the sensor and the build and everything, if you want the best glass, it's going to be the glass that's manufactured for full frame lenses. I mean, no one's going to go and manufacture at the very top glass for a camera where you might only sell 5,000 lenses in total. So if you're going to use the really good glass and then make it fit something that isn't necessarily a standard size, you are going to end up with some very strange figures.
I mean,
which then again works well, doesn't it? It means you're getting the best glass, but you're just going to have to get a bit closer.
The interesting thing with these people as well is that they sell exclusively on eBay. They've got an eBay shop and that is it. That is the only place you can get any of their stuff. So it keeps the prices down for us all, I suppose. I thought it was, like I said, the numbers are weird. So it gives you that, you know, if you wanted to shoot 23mm, if you've got a 12 to 24, you could sit and try and figure it out and just wind it back an eighth of a turn or something. But, you know, to maybe it gives you a different perspective, different view, different understanding or angle on the shot. So I thought it was quite interesting. I think the model of selling only in eBay and the idea of providing stuff at a reasonable price It's got to be a good thing at the minute, certainly.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's taken Amazon one step further, isn't it? It's if Amazon produced the stuff that they sell, then the prices would be even lower. But, you know, if you're buying a Nikon off of Amazon, it's still been manufactured by Nikon. They've still got all the plants. They've still got all the rest of the things they have to do, even if the end product isn't bought in a shop. Mm. You're not getting the final markup, but you're still getting the 95% of the markup that came along on the way. So at least this way, I mean, if it works well, I mean, it could be a nice model for future, you know, production. But I don't think it'll be a mass market.
While we're on the subject of lenses as well, we quite like the Nikon one. We thought that was a nice idea. They've produced an F-mount adapter. So now what you'll be able to do is take your F-mount adapter, shove it on the end of your Nikon one, and use all your existing Nikon lenses for the princely sum of $300.
That is the problem, isn't it? I mean, the concept of the Nikon one was a nice concept. I mean, it's their first foray into, shall we say, this new type of photography. This, you know, it's the sort of the Lego photography. You buy a bit of this and you buy a bit of this, and then we'll sell you something really expensive to bolt it together.
Mm.
But, I mean, for what it is, I think it's a ridiculous price. You know, all it is a mount adapter. And even if it's got a little bit of electronics and maybe some sort of light diffraction inside it, it's an awful lot of money.
Well, the thing that puzzled me with it as well is it's got a crop factor of 2.7, which is enormous. I mean, that takes a 50mm lens up to 135mm.
Yeah, it's a strange figure. But again, I mean, you're trying to fit real glass onto something which hasn't, you know, it's exactly the same as the last story. You're trying to fit a real size glass onto a funny size lens or a funny size sensor, which isn't. This is a mirrorless camera, so the sensor's even further forward than you would on a normal an adapter.
Well, that's where the cropping factor's coming from, I guess. Yeah.
So,
but I mean, as a man who's got probably the full range of Nikon lenses,
one or two,
would you say that? You know, if you had a Nikon one, because it's a great camera, you love the spec, you would buy it. The $300 to start using all of the existing lenses that you've got and have that much versatility would be fantastic. The only problem that you're going to have is your basic fisheye is going to come up to 24mm almost.
Yeah, well, I'd have to use an 18mm just to be able to get anything in the room in.
Yeah.
So, look, if someone to buy this because they've got Nikons and they bought a Nikon one, and then they'll think, yeah, well, I've got 10 grand's worth of lenses, so what's another $300 to be able to use them?
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I can see people buying it, but it's, I don't know, strange people maybe, I don't know.
Who knows? Last piece of news, which I've got to say, I really rated this, and I'm really gutted because I'm going to show you in a minute, but I've bought a side strap for my Canon from Photo Jojo, and the day after I ordered it, they put this in the shop, in the store, and I was like, oh, I would have had one of those in a heartbeat. And it's a tiny little gel lens that sits in a wristband, you know, kind of like the Lance Armstrong-y type wristbands. Mm-hmm. And you just whip it off your wrist and shove it on your smartphone camera, and it hovers over the top, and it gives you very decent quality macro, I have to say, and it's $15.
You know, when I saw this, it was one of those, I sort of slapped my forehead and thinking, how simple is that?
Oh, that's exactly the best ideas.
Exactly. You've got all these complicated, silly, buggery, clip-on-y thingy, lose it, drop it, I don't know, whatever rubbish they can come up with. And someone sat there and said, well, why don't you just stick a band around it and stick a little lens in the band?
Mm.
And then someone said, that won't work, it's too simple. And so he went off and he made, oh, look, if they're selling this for $15, it probably costs them 15 cents.
I mean, you're saying there about it being so simple, why hasn't someone thought of it before? But instantly in the chat room, Steve has just said, well, that would be great. Why don't they come out with a range of filters in the same format? And you could do colours, you could do tints, you could do gradient filters. There's an awful lot you could do with this, just right up close to the lens, even just without any kind of distortion.
I just hope they've patented it because of, if this does work as well as it seems to, and for the value and ease of use, there isn't going to be a factory in China making anything else other than these for the next few months.
No, no, it's absolutely great. It's at photojojo.com if you want to go and get it. And they are a fantastic photo store. I mean, Chris recommended them last week. And I had a bit of an issue this recently that I was using my camera and I dropped it. It's the second time I dropped it. The first time I dropped it was at St. Martin's Church in Birmingham, and I dropped it on a flagstone floor and put a big crack in the side of it, but it works just fine. I think I dropped it exactly the same place because I can't find any more marks, but I definitely dropped it. And I thought, I'm going to get myself one of those side straps for it. They're at Photo Jojo, and it comes in a beautiful little presentation box. It's great for a Christmas gift. If you're in America, you can still order from them. I ordered it on the Tuesday, and it came and arrived on the Saturday morning. So it did pretty well coming from the States via USPS. But it's just a little simple leather strap, and it's gorgeously made. I mean, it smells beautiful. Beautiful leather. And it just sits around, and you just put your hand through, and it stops you dropping it. I hate using straps. I can't use straps because I'm a big fat git, and the straps are never long enough. But that is perfect.
Could have bought a black one,
couldn't you? And I used it last week for the rugby match, and I've kept it on there. There's no way I'm taking that off now. It's just perfect.
No,
$40 bucks.
It's your version of idiot gloves.
Yeah. Photojojo.com is the coolest place, and they send you a little tiny dinosaur toy as well, which is just beautiful. Have a play with that. And there's a photo thing for them as well. People take photos of them and post it. Little culture going. My story of the week, though, Alex, just to finish off the stories, is Missy. Have you seen this girl?
You know what? I'd not. And I looked at it when you sent it to me earlier, and I was really worried that all she'd be doing is quoting the rubbish we talk. I was thinking, is she just playing back Bagel Tech and then just doing it word for word? But
yeah, no, I'm trying to find...
She's hilarious. She really is really, really funny.
I'm trying to find the link. What she's done is taken the idea of the mommy blogger and put it into play for photography, and she's championing now mommy photographers. That's her thing, and she's got a weekly blog, video blog, that you can get via YouTube, and it's Missy, Pro Photographer Mom, and she talks about all of the discussions she has at playgroups and things like that with her other pro photographer moms, and... The first video is priceless. I was rolling on the floor. She's trying to remember basic phrases, which, well, I suppose we do as well, you know, like exposure, aperture, shutter, priority, that kind of stuff. And then she says, and of course, there's the professional setting on your camera as well, which is the one that's the little P. And she's brilliant. Go and watch some of her videos. You can get them at Petapixel. I think that's where the video came from. But for the life of me, I can't find the damn link.
Just took up Missy Pro Photographer.
Missy Pro Photographer. Here we go. I've got it. You can get her at petapixel.com, and it's well worth the watch. She's got about four videos up there.
Well, if you like the amateurness of Bagel Tech Photo, you will love this.
This girl. We should get her on the show.
Now, she'll probably know more than we do.
No, we're going to get her on, and we're going to get her to stay in character and give us some beautiful photography advice. That's the goal. We're going to write to her and get her on. She's going to be on next month's show.
I thought we had Carl for that.
Next week. We'll get on next week. We'll have a full panel then. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
Well done, Missy, mate. I think you're awesome. As a pro photographer, you're great. And wait till you watch the one on portrait posing. Super.
Oh, that was really funny. I shouldn't laugh. It's like giving the joke away, but it was really funny. Because we've actually done it, you know.
This podcast and many others are brought to you thanks to UK2.net. We've got, I don't know what to say every week because it's always the same message. They look after us, they save us, they pick up all the bandwidth, they don't ask for anything in return, and we as a network would never have grown at the pace that we had without them because the amount of bandwidth we consume is just unbelievable, but we've got an unlimited supply with them. We've added shows in just recently. Not a problem. We'll sort it out. It's okay. Don't worry. Sorry about the increasing bandwidth. No, it's fine. All they ask is that you give them a try. If you go to our website, scroll down on the left-hand side, you'll see the Bagel Tech is Powered By logo that you're seeing here. Click on that. They'll know we've sent you with a tracking link. They don't know where you are or who you are. They just know that you've come from us. And then have a look at the prices. And if you think that they're pretty good and competitive, and they generally are, do remember to factor in that you are going to pay 15% less than the prices that they're showing. Because if you use the offer code BAGELTECH, you get 15% off whatever's in your basket. And it's any service co-location at £800+, not a problem. The other thing is, if you transfer a domain in, you can use a code BAGELDNS, and that'll take away your management charge for DNS management. And normally customers will pay that. You don't pay it if you're a BAGELTECH listener. So use those two offer codes and make sure you do use them. And in the process of doing that, you're not only supporting UK2 and giving them your money, you're supporting the network, and we are staying on the air, because without people carrying on, and there's a lot of you who are buying stuff off, an awful lot of stuff off UK2. We got an email from them a couple of weeks back saying how pleased they were with the link up and how successful it had been for them and for us. So thank you for those people that have paid the money and bought stuff from them. It's made a huge difference to us. Please keep supporting them. UK2.net, we couldn't exist without them. Right, should we do your questions?
Why are they my questions? Don't ask me all of them.
We've got some questions this week. Dear Alex,
mastermind.
Dear Alex, Kyle, Chris and Ewan, my daughter's a keen horse rider and we recently bought her a new horse. Lucky girl. Last weekend, we tried to take a nice picture of her and the horse together in the field, but it was impossible to get the horse to show up against the sky. The horse is black, and I'm sure there's something I can do to improve the images, but can you give me a clue where to start? I'm only an amateur, so try and keep it simple. My camera is a Nikon Coolpix P100. Thanks, Arthur Kent. Okay. Cheers, Arthur. Do you want to start us off, mate?
Yeah, we've got two choices. If buy a white horse or a better camera. You can tell it's coming to Christmas, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what would I say? Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, if your horse won't, a black horse won't stand up against a white sky, you're probably doing something very wrong.
Well, I think it probably stands out, but the trouble is there's no features. I mean, capturing features in things that are black is really tough.
Yeah, I mean,
the
only real thing you can do, I mean, a Coolpix is a point and shoot, isn't it? Or a P100.
I'm just trying to find it on, try and find the spec for it. Keep going. Fill the time.
No, what I'd suggest you do is you actually have to take the exposure from the horse. You're going to have to take the exposure from the darkest part of the horse as well, because that's what's happening. If it's doing an exposure over the whole image, if the sky is white and the horse is black, one or other than is going to give. And I dare say the sky is going to be more of the image than the horse. So you have to either find a way of exposing it to a smaller area on the darker part of the picture, or zoom in a lot further and make the horse fill up a lot more of the screen, and then use that to take the exposure from. But I mean, that's the only real issue you've got there, is you've got such a massive contrast and a camera that's not handling it very well. You might find also, if it is a point and shoot, if you put it on something like night or one of those auto settings, you might find that the night setting will expose for the darker area rather than the lighter area. But you will then start to bleach out the sky a bit. But it's better to have a bleached out sky and be able to enjoy the horse and the rider than just have a beautifully exposed sky and not be able to see anything else.
I think that's a good point, though, about really what you want to do with any subject is fill the frame with interest. So, you know, if you've got your daughter and the horse, fill the frame with the daughter and the horse. Even get to the point, you know, are you really interested in the horse's legs? You want the horse's head and your daughter's head. So, again, really crop down on it, and you'll get your metering so much more even and subject-oriented rather than a general metering. Look for spot metering as opposed to evaluative metering, so you're not taking in the whole scenery. I've just looked at the spec here on Wex, and it's saying that that's just shoots a JPEG standard 4x3, so it's not going to shoot RAW or anything like that to help you kind of balance it afterwards, which, I mean, that's a classic RAW shot. The other thing is with black, what I've found over the years is, you know, if you use the kind of the old idea of the light behind you with the black thing in front of you, you'll tend to find that it flattens it very much. What you need to do is try and position yourself so that the light is coming across you, because then any features that there are will have a shadow associated with them, a highlight and shadow. And a horse, if you've brushed it, I would have guessed, it's going to have a nice sheen to it. You will get highlight and dark areas then if you take the light so that it's at a slightly oblique angle, you know, sort of 15 or 20 degrees from the angle that you're on, and features will start to pop out. Steve in the chat room saying he's got the same problem. He's got a 5-month-old solid black long-coated German Shepherd, and most of the pictures just look like a silhouette. exactly the same thing, Steve. Try and get the light to be at a different angle from you, sort of 15 or 20 degrees offline, and you get far more detail out of the blacks. Should work.
Yeah. I mean, this is the point. This is the only time where shadows are there to help you. Because for the most part, I mean, also, I mean, this is a perfect golden hour time. If you want to shoot it and you really are having trouble, shoot it at the golden hour. Yeah, shoot it at the golden hour, because then the sky, all the rest of the light is going to be soft. And dark images work a lot better when the light is soft and lower. So, yeah, let it exaggerate all the shadows and,
I'm just, the other thing I was thinking was, because last weekend was actually reasonably sunny from what I recall, from what you were saying about photo walk. So if you shoot on a grey day, you're probably going to see less feature.
Yeah, it depends where the sun is. If you've got a really bright sky because it's a bright day, a black horse is not going to show up. It's just going to be a silhouette. But if you do it at the golden hour of the light is low, you get longer shadows. You get a softer light, and therefore some of the definition with the shadows, it's not going to be fighting. The contrast isn't going to be fighting each other. So I'd give it a go. But the main thing, to be honest, if you fill your frame up with a point and shoot, it should handle the exposure properly. That's where you've got a problem.
Teresa in the chat room, she said she's had best luck with spot metering in the past, and Tony's trying to shoot his sister's cat with his phone and it kept moving. Children and animals do.
You're better off shooting it with a gun.
Listening. Question two. Listening in the past few weeks, I know that Ewan in particular is keen for us all to explore the purchases of lenses on eBay as a viable alternative to more expensive new lenses. I have to say that 3 weeks ago, I did just that and got a cracking Canon EF S 60mm 2.8 for £140, which is a good buy because that's a £400 lens. But that got me thinking that you've always advocated buying lenses on eBay, but never camera bodies. Is there a reason for that, or would you say that you'd be just as happy to buy them on eBay, Mike, in Tadcaster? Would you buy a camera body?
With me?
Yeah, off eBay.
No.
Why not?
Because there's...
Because I've got to say, my first reaction was, oh, no.
No, but I wouldn't. I mean, I'll tell you what. The only camera bodies I'd ever... I mean, I've never chucked anything on eBay in my life, but the only camera bodies I'd ever chuck on eBay are camera bodies that I've no longer got a use for. And for me not to have the use for a camera body, it means I've buggered it up in some way. It normally means it's got some sort of hairline scratch on the sensor and various things like that. And you've got to remember, with sensor scratches and things like that, they don't show up on... I've got two or three cameras with hairline scratches on the sensors, and it's all to do with the old days where you couldn't get them cleaned properly. Now, I can shoot at various apertures, and I could put pictures on eBay saying that this was shot with that camera at that moment, look it up, and I could shoot a white piece of card and you would never see the scratches. But if I put it on slightly different apertures, you'd start to see them when you went up to 100%. So it's something that's so easily hidden, and you'd have to have that camera, and to a certain extent you'd have to open it up and have the light hitting the sensor at exactly the right angle to even see the hairline scratches. But most digital cameras have still got a value, as in, to me, myself, if it's a bit knackered, but I'd never buy one because I wouldn't trust it. I'd rather buy the extra. I'd rather buy a secondhand camera from a store, pay probably 10% more than the eBay price, and know it's got a 3-month warranty. And they wouldn't try and sell it with a scratch sensor. They do the checking for you. It's peace of mind as much as anything. But with a lens has to be really badly damaged for it to not be completely useless. But a camera only needs very minor defects for it to be a real problem.
I mean, I've just gone on eBay and put in a search for a Canon D60. And the returns that I've got, 218 returns, most of them are Digital Rev or some other D-Zone 2, those kind of online stores from Hong Kong. There's not a lot of camera bodies actually available to purchase from private sellers. Not a huge amount at all. And the prices on these, I've got to say, for the amount that you're going to pay, you're talking about paying £500 for a 60D body secondhand. For the difference in the price, I'd probably say go and buy a new one. I think what you find with people, I mean, it's the same with me. I've never thrown a body away. I've still got all the bodies that I've ever owned.
Yeah, I've got cupboards of things that will never even come out of the cupboard.
Yeah.
But, you know, also, if you're buying digital camera, if you are going to an upgraded digital camera, if you buy it from a proper shop, if you took your second-hand and part exchanged it, you'd probably get almost as much off of it than you'd get from selling it on eBay.
Mm.
You know, because of the second-hand cameras, I mean, digital cameras, you've got two levels because they're not that old. You've got the early ones that people want because they're not very good at taking pictures, but they are really wonderful things to own because they were the earliest examples. And then I think, you know, within sort of 2 or 3, maybe 4 years, it's still got a use.
Mm.
So why get rid of it?
I mean, I've still got my D300 or 300D, and it's got a great quality sensor in it. It only shoots 6 megapixels, but at 6 megapixels, it's more than good enough for commercial sale, for fairly low level magazine. You know, up to A4, you'd shoot just fine. Be no problem at all.
But remembering, I mean, I've got quite a few Nikons, but most of them I still keep as a backup. I will never use them. But if I have to take them to work and use them because something's wrong with my newer ones, I'll get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a brochure or something to shoot, I might even just dig the 300D out so that I can just, you know, it's already 6 megapixels. I haven't got to worry about resizing or anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Just shoot cheap crap and away we go.
There you go.
Question 3. Hi guys, I was reading a blog post recently at a site and I noticed that the author mentioned a high key image. What is high key and how do I achieve it? Thanks for the help, love the shows. Gary Swindon. High key.
A high key is when you've got the lock right at the top of your door.
and you're short like you.
I don't know what's wrong with me today. Right, a high key image is basically an image where if you look at the values for the exposure in the histogram, the majority of the values are going to be very, very high light values. But it's normally a very light picture, but with very low contrast. And I mean, for a high key portraiture, you tend to shoot somebody tonally against, say, a white background. And you shoot it in such a way the exposure would be correct, but the white and the lightness around the subject would sort of bleed out into the background. So you lose a lot of features and it softens the image, but it softens it by making it low contrast but very high value.
Mm.
It makes sense to me because I know what I'm talking about. Does that make sense to anyone else?
Well, my understanding of high key is more that the origination of it is from video. It's not from stills. So it's basically flooding an area with light so that you soften all the shadows so that you get a more evenly exposed image for video. And it's kind of transitioned into stills photography, and HDR's played a bit of part in this because, of course, you can soften your shadows with HDR very easily. And also with RAW, you can soften and even stuff out. And it's very much about what you said there, getting that evenness of tone right the way across, but, you know, deliberately letting areas burn out a little bit so that you've got that high value, very, very white, very overexposed almost, but still has key features within it.
It's a great look. It's almost sort of cartoony in a way, because you lose so much of the nuances and definition, which is what it's for.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea is, you know, if you take a high key portrait, you'd have your model wearing strong makeup, because the rest of her skin tone is going to disappear.
The rest of her stink.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with it. The rest of her skin tone will disappear. You're not going to get many shadows around the eyes. It's very, very flattering for older ladies, if you like, because if you don't pick up wrinkles and things like that, they just don't exist in a high key photograph.
I think the interesting thing is I've just Googled high key image to try and find an image quickly to show you. And the problem with it as a definition is everyone seems to apply something different to it. But the image that I've got here, I see this as getting close to high key, but there's still too many dark shadows in that for it to be purely high key for me.
It's close, though.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, you're getting the idea of allowing things to get close to burning out.
I take it she's wearing a hat, but you can't see it.
Yeah, no, it was white hat, white background. The baby here is probably a little better example, because it's that's definitely high key, where it's looking at that blandness across it. It almost looks washed out. Yeah. Like you've completely reduced your contrast area to the point that it becomes almost pallid.
I mean, there's also the high key being a slightly dodgy Japanese sonnet when someone didn't know the rules properly.
The chat room's already suggesting the rest of her stink as the title of the podcast.
I'm going to have to listen back to it because, you know, I've got someone else's teeth in today.
come back, Kyle and Chris. All's forgiven. Yeah. Don't leave us alone again, please.
This has been far too technical.
No, it's just been far too wrong. where can we get a hold of you, Alex?
You get me on Alex G. Fox on Twitter, and that will do because I'm too busy to answer anything else.
Good man. You can get me, Ewan Rankin, on Twitter at Ewan Rankin or at Bagel Tech News, and you can get me for commercial photography work at ewanrankin.co.uk. We'll be back next week. Hopefully the whole team will be here. Don't forget that next week is the Rummaging Santa's Sack. It's a big competition, a huge competition, where we've got a 1 terabyte 2.5-inch hard drive to give away. We've also got 3 licenses for Camtasia and 3 licenses for Snagit. And we've also possibly got a Nintendo 3DS, and we might have a compact camera as well. I'll just need a phone call off someone to make sure that that's right. But we should have a big old giveaway, and we'll give out prizes on every show all the way through the day. So there'll be one I'll call out and get Santa to announce on the Daily Show. Then we'll give another prize away on the Photo Show, another one away on the Mac Show, and then in the evening we'll give the last one away on the Big Show. There we go. So if you want to rummage in Santa's sack, all you got to do is send us an email that says, I want to rummage in Santa's sack, and we'll enter you in the draw. And as we go through the day, we'll be pulling out some names and from Santa's sack after we've had a rummage. Simple as that. We'll be back in next week. Everyone will be here. I bloody hope so. See you at 2 o'clock next Friday. Thanks for joining us.
Bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.